We're continuing this week, and Lord willing, we'll finish up this outline, and then we'll look at the second part of this Psalm 1. And so we're looking at the blessed man, the blessed man. As we saw last week, number one, the blessed man's path. And this speaks of his separation from the world. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So if we're going to be blessed by God, we should not listen to ungodly men. Amen. We should not walk in the counsel. You shouldn't be listening to ungodly people. You shouldn't be taking advice. You shouldn't get involved with ungodly people. They are the opposite of righteous people. And they do not want to live God's will and God's word. They just throw off all restraint. And so they've chosen to live according to their own sinful pleasures. And then we saw also he does not linger with sinful men, because you can't stand in the way with sinners. You can't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. You cannot stand in the way of sinners. You can't get involved with them. A sinner is someone who misses the mark of God's word. They disobey God. They're guilty before God. And so the way of sinners is the exact opposite of being blessed by God, because in sin there is no joy. In sin there is no satisfaction. In sin there is no contentment. There will not be a deep-seated peace, a lasting peace. But in the life, in the way of a sinful man, there'll be continuing conflicts and just lack of peace and disappointments. And we know that just if you got saved, you know what your life was without Christ. They will bring a lot of hurt to many lives. They will be selfish. They will be isolated from other people. They will be lonely. They may even turn to substance abuse like drugs and alcohol. And this is the way of the world. This is the way of the wicked, the way of sinners. We saw some examples. You have to be careful. Even a child of God, like Abraham, went down into Egypt. And what happened? He lost his testimony. Lot, he stood in the way of sinners, and we know he lost his family. Peter stood in the way of sinners when he warmed himself around the fire there after he denied the Lord. And he started cursing and denying Jesus. So you see what will happen in your life when you get involved with sinners. But then we look at this warning against not sitting in the seat of the scornful, because you don't want to find yourself mocking God and laughing at God, having no respect for God's word. And this would be sad. They're very proud, very arrogant. And a lot of people are like that today because of their sinful life and their wickedness and their ungodliness. They begin to scorn, mock God's people and mock God's word. And we see that's a very popular thing today. That's why atheism and agnosticism, all that is popular today. It's culture. It's cool. So we see God, you know, if you're going to be blessed, you have to separate from these things. A lot of people don't like that. But you have to. You have to stay away from the worldliness, the ungodliness. Sinners and ungodly, wicked people. They should not be your best friend. They should not be, you shouldn't be in fellowship with them. You can know them. You can minister to them. And certainly you have family members that are lost. But you don't walk with them. You don't participate in what they do. That's what God's calling us out of. Amen. But secondly tonight, this is where we pick up. We saw the blessed man's path. Now number two, the blessed man's pleasure. What do you take pleasure in? Well, look at verse 2. But his delight is what? In the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Amen. You can't get enough of God's word, can you? And so, a blessed man's pleasure, he's separated from the world, but he's satisfied with the word. He takes pleasure in the word. In letter A, the word has captured his full attention. That's what delight, or full affection, sorry. That's what delight is, your affection. You delight in it. It's what you desire. It's what you enjoy. This here is speaking of an emotional involvement in God's word. If you allow the Spirit of God to take control of your life, you will have a genuine affection, a passionate feeling for God's word. If you don't have that, something is wrong. Maybe step one is wrong. You're allowing your sin and allowing sinful relationships to choke out that passion and that affection. Now, in the law, it says our delight will be in the law of the Lord. And then, obviously, now it stands for all of Scripture. We know it only consisted of Genesis through Deuteronomy in the context. And that's all they possessed when the Psalm 1 was written. They only possessed Genesis through Deuteronomy. So, how do you feel about reading Genesis through Deuteronomy? Is it your delight? Do you have an affection for it? Amen? Huh? I can't hear. Sorry. This thing. So we need to have a delight in God's word. And we have to understand that today we have a great privilege. Why? Because we have more than Genesis through Deuteronomy. We have all of God's scripture, all of God's revelation. Amen? And even a concordance to help you find words. Even some maps here. Complete God's word. Amen? And you should be happy and blessed by all that you have in God's word. What a treasure. They couldn't say that. David couldn't say that, but we can. So what does this look like? It means that you'll be reading the Bible. You'll be studying the Bible. You will be thinking about the Bible. You will be wanting to go hear it preached and taught. You will want to obey it. Amen? That's what Deuteronomy, if you're in Deuteronomy right now, remember the whole purpose is not just to get knowledge, it's to obey. God said, I want you to learn these things, to obey it, to put it in practice. Amen? Not just read it for knowledge, but to do it. And then God said, what did he say? This will be your wisdom to all the nations. You see, your wisdom is your obedience to God's word. That's what wisdom is. And that's what everyone's going to recognize in your life. When you're obedient to God, they'll say, man, that person is wise. That person is different. They know God. So are we studying it? Are we reading it? Are we thinking about it? Are we hearing it preached and taught? Are we obeying it? So letter A, the word of God captures his full attention. It's his delight. But not only that, the word of God, letter B, claimed his full attention, his meditation, your full attention. In his law doth he meditate day and night. This meditate is imperfect tense. For those of you that study some English, this is continuous action, ongoing meditation. It's not just this one-time thing. This is always. This is continuous. Now, meditation in the Bible isn't like Eastern meditation, like you hear today. You know, different Middle Eastern religions, where their meditation is emptying your mind, you know. Try to eliminate all thought, and that's really opening yourself up to demons, that's all, to the devil. But meditation in the Bible is redirecting your thoughts to the Word of God, to the mind of God. So you're filling your mind with the Word of God. That's meditation in the Bible. It's not emptying your mind, it's filling it. We are talking to ourselves concerning the great truths found in the Word of God. That's what you're doing in your mind. You're talking to yourself about God's Word. You're thinking of ways in which the Word of God applies to your daily life. That's what meditation is. The word meditate includes audible recitation, speaking the word aloud. There's nothing wrong with quoting scripture out loud, walking around, speaking the word. We are, even the Bible talks about it, to put it on your lips, not just in your heart. You're supposed to put it on your lips. And this brings blessedness to our life. That's what he's saying here. But his delight, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. That's the blessedness. Now, when you meditate in God's word, there's some blessings here, practical blessings. You'll be able to discern the counsel of the ungodly. You'll be like, that just doesn't sound right. That isn't true. God doesn't say that. God's word doesn't say that. You'll be able to discern. It brings discernment. Not only that, you'll have strength. You'll have an inner strength through meditation to resist temptations. Even when sinners present their traps for you, you'll be able to resist them. And when you meditate on God's word, you'll never develop a scornful attitude. It'll protect you from even ever even getting near having a mocking attitude towards God, a flippant attitude towards the things of God. Meditation, through meditation, we learn God's commands. And we learn that God's commands flow from his loving heart, and they protect and guide us. You see, through meditation, you're going to appreciate and love God's word more, and you're going to want to do it. And then when we obey, when we achieve that through meditation, that's when God showers his blessings upon our lives. Number three. You see, you have a path, you have pleasure, But number three, the blessed man's prosperity. Amen? Separated from the world, satisfied by the word, and then situated by the waters. And he shall be like a tree, what? Planted by the rivers of water. You'll be situated by the water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The psalmist notes seven things which mark the life of a man who is situated by the rivers of God's word. And that's what it's talking about here. The rivers of water are that, the rivers of God's word. We see, number one, his prominence. Letter A, he is like a tree. Amen? Not just any tree. Not just any trees. Compared to a tree, not like a wild seedling that randomly sprouts up in an inconvenient place. He's the right kind of tree, planted in the right kind of place. Amen? His prominence, his permanence, letter B. He is like a tree planted. He'll be planted. Unlike grass. Grass is mown down. It's you know, grass can dry up and blow away. But a tree sends its roots deep down into the soil. Not like grass. Deep roots into the soil. And this speaks of what? A deep hidden life. Remember, the roots are down. When your roots are down, then the fruit comes up. The deeper the roots, the more the fruit. Amen. The more your testimony, your productivity in life. So this planet also indicates you are firmly fixed. You know, not someone who's just blown around all the time by every wind of doctrine. And that's what the New Testament tells us about. Remember, we're talking about Colossians. What are we supposed to be? Deeply rooted and grounded in Christ. Deeply rooted in Christ. Letter C, his position. He is planted by the rivers of water. You see, there may be a drought which brings bleakness and barrenness to others, but not you. Not you, because you have an unfailing source of life. That's what it's talking about here. His productivity, letter D, brings forth fruit. You see, the strong root system also delivers fresh water from the river, which produces abundant fruit. The tree flourishes. Its leaves will not wilt. They will not fall off. Its foliage is rich, thick, and lush. And that's what God's picturing here. Our lives, if they're blessed, will be flourishing and fruitful. In fact, your branches will run over. You know how they extend out? Sometimes they go into the neighbor's yard, and if there's fruit, if they come over to your side, you get to pick the fruit, amen, and eat the fruit. So your fruit's going to bless other people. Amen? Letter E, his propriety. Propriety. And I know you say, well, what's that? Well, it says he brings his fruit forth in his season. This is your time of fruit bearing. Just as there are times for growth, there's times for rest. Amen. Like Jesus said, we need to abide in him. And when we abide in him, John 15, he is going to bring forth fruit in our lives. He is the vine, we are the branches, amen? So it will come in seasons, but we have to be abiding. Letter F, his perpetuity, his leaf also shall not wither. Now, sometimes, you know, one of the nice things about living up in the Northeast is a little more changing of trees and colors. And it's nice, isn't it? It looks pretty. All the different colors covering a mountain, and it's just amazing. We have a lot of those pictures. They look pretty, but you know what? They're going to fall to the ground soon. This is a different kind of tree. This is a fresh, evergreen tree. Amen. Evergreen. His leaf shall not wither. It's not affected by the weather. It's not affected by the winter. It's always the same. Brethren, God can do this in our lives. And then letter G, his prosperity. Whatsoever he doeth shall what? Prosper. His family, his business, his church, personal life. God says, I'm going to prosper you. I'm going to bless you. And he's going to be happy, happy. Happinesses, many happinesses. A very happy, happy person. And so, brethren, when I think of the coming down to the end of this song, this three verses, we must evaluate how much time we spend in God's word. Amen. How much time do we spend on other interests? I know we have so many demands in life. Television, internet, sports, hobbies, entertainment, reading, other reading. Many other things occupy our lives. And sometimes can rob us of the greatest blessing of all, God's word. Time to meditate in it, time to study it. Is it any wonder that so many believers are worldly, spiritually weak, prone to falling into temptation? Because they spend very little time in God's word. That's the bottom line. That's why we're weak. And sometimes these types of believers will be consumed by sin and worldliness. They won't have fruit. The truth is this, and I always say this, and it's a poor excuse, folks. Listen, why don't you just admit it? You make time for what's important to you. We understand that? We really make time for what's important to us. So if God's word is important to you, you will make time. There is no excuse for not being in God's word. Because if it's important to you, you will make time. Amen? And so neglecting God's word is a spiritual problem. It's a heart problem. So we must ask ourselves tonight, what is our relationship to God's word? And let's truly be honest before the Lord with our answer. Let's pray. Father, tonight,